Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 77 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. And tonight's episode is number 77, called Trial Beastman List.
Yeah, and it is bonfire night, kind of. The 3rd of November.
Well, it's the night that it gets celebrated.
So you'll probably hear bedangs and spangs, because it's 10 past 8 on a Friday
there's,
night.
There's lots of explosions happening outside.
There are, we're hidden away.
I had a weird thing, like getting in my car to drive over to Barry's. It's not that it's far, but on the horizon, there was, like, behind the houses, there was a lot of fireworks going and lots of lighting up. And then a helicopter comes flying over. And it just took me straight back to Iraq and Afghanistan. You know?
There's a guy hanging out
at that moment. I was like, it sounds exactly the same fireworks, as to real gun
and weapons. Helicopters.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Hanging out the side with a pig.
No, just reminded me of my tours. It was like, oh, bloody hell.
Eat this.
Rather be standing here. Oh God, yes.
Hey, so there we go. So it's Friday night, so we should have been released this morning. Obviously it's not, so hopefully over the weekend it'll be released. Mm-hmm. Probably doesn't take too long to edit.
Friday the 3rd.
Mm-hmm. 10 past 8.
Yep.
And then we get straight into, after we told you what we're talking about.
Yep.
Trial Beastman List.
Yep.
And we get straight into Paul's world.
Yeah.
The wide, wide, varied world of Paul.
This will be a good episode, because there's lots going on. And then, obviously, but the main topic will be mostly Barry, because Barry played the list.
So well, Barry, played against the list,
so we'll be Barry talking about it.
It's good.
Yes, and obviously pushing the Beastman list forward, etc., etc. So, what have we been doing? Should I start?
It's been about a week and 3 days, I think.
A week and three days.
I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah,
last
so
week.
Gaming-wise, I've played in a War Machine tournament. I played on last Saturday, played at 40k War Machine, because I was free to go, and I went down and took played three games, because that was all the event was. It was purposely cut short because the organiser had to play his band later.
Okay. So they didn't get a result?
No, they did, but they just capped. They just
fudged a result?
Yeah, they just like best placed after three rounds. Anyway, but it was 16 players. And I only have Signar now for War Machine, and so I took two lists down there and played three rounds of War Machine. And
did you win any?
I won the last game. So the first game was I played against the winner of the event. Yeah, in the first round, that's what we've been drawn against.
Good strength of schedule.
Yeah. So and that was a really good game because he's really good. Yeah, he was a good player, just played in the right spirit. But I was so rusty with tournament play of War Machine.
And rules changes.
Reminding myself of minor rules.
Because you've only just learned your stuff again. And you've got no idea what anything else does.
Yeah, exactly. And I had to, the point of it was, Primacy Press are not making it easy to play their game, essentially.
No, they're
at the
not.
Moment. They're just not. It's not.
Eric offered me a game on Wednesday, and I said, I haven't got time between Wednesday and Wednesday in that week to learn the game. Yeah. To be asked to play it and build a list. So I'll play you, Eric, but I'm not playing War Machine.
Yeah.
Because it's like on quicksand still.
Yeah, completely. I mean, like, the tournament pack's different. A lot of, like, minor interactions, mechanics of the game are different. And the thing is, I found out afterwards. So I took a Striker 1 list, theme list of heavy metal, and Nemo 3 list.
Captain Vanilla.
A Nemo 3 list of all lightning, all like storm towers, because I've gotten better. But I found my storm towers list. So what was previously a solo has become a stormsmith, has become a unit of three models. It's not a solo anymore.
But you have to buy three of them.
Yeah, but they actually sold in a blister pack of three. Because you would buy a pack of three solos in...
Not Stormsmiths.
Yeah, Stormsmiths.
No, they were always a three-pack.
Yeah, they were always a three-pack, but they were solo models.
Yes.
Now they're back. They're a unit of three.
Okay.
I didn't know this. So because I thought they seemed expensive solos for what they did, but maybe I'm missing something. Yeah, because
so you took them anyway.
So I took two.
So six Stormsmiths.
Yeah, I should have had six Stormsmiths.
And you had two.
Yeah, I had two. So I was playing like 8 points down. One list. I didn't even realize. I had to be pointed out to me like later. I was like, oops. That's how out of touch I am. So the first game was really good, really competitive, and again, I was like, I like War Machine. This is a good tournament game.
Just calm down.
It just needs to be. Andy, the runner of 40K, the owner, came up and like, oh, saw me playing, and I was like, and I was just saying to him like, they do not make this game easy to play anymore. Yeah, to keep current. And then my second round was against Tryhard Tom Bell. And he took a Signar list as well. And the reason I say Tryhard is just such a perfect acronym for him, because he, even though this event had, I think its prize was like £5 gift vouchers and stuff like that.
Ooh, now, big
now,
money.
Yeah, now he's like, because there are no press gangers anymore.
So no, there's no.
Like, it's nice that someone's taking the time to run it. So I'm playing it. So same side matchup's never good. And this guy, basically, even though he'd lost the first round, so there's no chance he could win the thing. He's got a nickname of Tryhard because he tries so hard. So even though, the scenario, basically he spiked a set where one of my Stormstriders, this list is points down, so whoops. On with the scenario, so that is going to hold my right while I push hard for the left. Now, the key piece is this right-hand piece, which just denies him scoring that side.
Yeah.
Well, he, with a light warjack, a grenadier, ooh, killed it in one round of shooting.
What?
Yeah, I know. So, I did the maths.
Well, they power at 12.
Yeah. And but he rolled...
Three of them.
His dice were so hot that he put three rounds into it, three shots. Because he can fire three times and killed my Stormstrider. And killed my Stormstrider. Now, I did the maths and I was like, you should have caused 12 damage and you did over 28.
28?
Because that's how much boxes it has. Yeah, now. It got more boxes. And it was like such a spike that I was just like, well, that's won you the game then. And then what happened is that after then two turns later... I said to him, well, hang on, Tom, look, you've won, haven't you? Because if you move, you score there and move there and do that, you've won. And even though, we spotted the scenario win, he insisted on having to play the turn so he could kill more models to get more points. And I was like, no, Tom, there's no point. Is it because it would affect his score better?
Well, it would. It affects the very final tiebreaker.
Exactly.
But it's only relevant if... Yeah.
If it's neat, exactly.
Because there's no prizes for anything else.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed. Well, you could have conceded.
Well, I wanted to.
But you can.
Well,
you can always concede.
But that's the thing.
Well, then he gets maximum points. You kind of.
It was so stupid. I was like, "Are you serious, Tom? You want me to stand here? Because you even know. Because it's the same faction. You know my model's stats. You don't need me to be here." You can just play by yourself. And I wouldn't entertain it, basically. I was just like, you're ridiculous. You've already won this game.
I often say you can't choose how I lose.
Yeah.
I can choose to let you win, but I don't have to necessarily sit there and take it.
Well, that's the thing.
Then you have to be prepared to just concede.
Well, and the thing is, I just said to him, look, cut. After 2 minutes of this, I was like, no, life's too short. I want to paint some models. And then, and I just said, what are you going to take off? And I just think, you can have that, you can have that, you can have that. There you go.
Well, I'm not sure, as a judge, I'm not sure I'm allowed to just choose what pieces died.
Well, just... There we go. It's if it's important to him, it's not important to me.
Okay, right. Well done. Well done. And then you played game three.
Then the last round, I played against a Scorn player and I completely tabled him. The score was 5 scenario points to 75 army points to nothing. Nothing.
Okay, so I guess you used heavy metal.
I used heavy metal there and I started to use it a lot better And
what, it just plus 5 armor.
Well, no, that, but like the the theme benefits of the repositions and stuff. So I just kept out of contact, and just just snowballed this guy, sadly. But by the end of that game, I was like, I'm back in the zone of
War Machine.
You know, like, I mean, that game couldn't, you know, that was like,
well, hopefully you
that,
were,
was, that was like a six love game.
You treated it nicely while you were.
Well, yeah, of course it, of course. But like, yeah, but it's, you know, anyway, let's say, like, at the end of it, because I haven't played War Machine in ages, I was like, well, if I had, you know, if I was available and there was a convenient event, I could play in it. But I see no desire to own any more than one faction for that game. Because I just there's so much in one main faction choices that there's no need. I just don't see the need to go anywhere else.
I've only got 7. I'll tell you what, it's bloody hard work keeping up with 7 factions. Now they did. It didn't used to be, because it used to be you had like one or a maximum 2 units of anything. But Theme Forces have been the end of me.
Yeah.
Because like everybody's playing Theme Force, you need fucking millions of everything. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Even I can't do it. I've got a lot of shit.
Yeah, so, but you can use your press ganger points to pick up the new Signar stuff.
I will. I have to pick up 2 lots, because obviously I need a set for me, but that's all right.
Yeah, but like, you know, that's some way for you to use.
I can talk about this now. I mean, it used to be you weren't allowed to sell the mono stuff, but now the program's finished.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just basically cashing out. They can't tell me how to cash out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just give me my stuff.
On the way out your door, please don't change all the codes.
I mean, it was like an unwritten code that you weren't allowed to sell it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I played that, and I'm... What else have I been up to? So I've been doing quite a bit of painting at the moment. This is cool. I just brought down some things just to remind myself. So, oh my God, these explosions are really getting loud, aren't they?
Yeah, it's at the high school nearby.
Right. It's just like going off. We're here in downtown Baghdad. Like,
We've discussed them last episode.
Oh, okay. We discussed them last week, did we?
We did.
Yeah, so the space...
Balls on his blue super
breeze. So the space hulk models are done. Simon's done them. So
we can play Space Hulk then.
We can play Space Hulk on camera if we wanted to. Yeah.
I noticed these have got the world's weirdest bases. They've got like...
There's Terminators. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, as if... You got a base and just started carving lumps out of it.
Yeah, it is a strange one, but it's the bases they have. I'll mount them on round bases.
Must be that reason. And we've got some...
Gilball.
Union team again, is it?
That's Masons.
Masons, sorry.
So what am I doing? Because obviously the next event I'm going to is a War Machine one. Sorry, it's War Master. Which I'm using Vampire Counts. And the...
War Master.
Yeah,
we're going.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tri-Wiz.
The Tri-Wiz on the 11th. So I'm using Vampire Counts, and I wanted to do 2 more units of Skeletons, so they're getting finished, and I just need to base them.
So I can borrow your Empire?
I'm using Vampire Counts.
I just need 8 Halberdiers.
Well, you can have 8 Halberdiers.
I don't have 8.
I do. And then the thing after War Master will be SteamCon. Yeah, so I've got the Union team that Simon's done for me, and I'm doing my own Masons team. And it's just to remind me, that's Flint there, the Star Striker, and I've just finished painting him.
Beautiful. He's so handsome.
Yeah.
I couldn't hurt him. If you know the game, if you're a man, you can't hurt him.
Your penalty to hurt him, because...
Because he's so handsome, he's so a man. Handsome, I don't want to hurt him.
Exactly. I quite like with the bases I've done them on. These were like designed bases for a different game system, but they work quite well for the Masons, I think, because they're like rubbery, which is quite cool.
Interesting, these new one-piece plastics.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm have a Masons team to paint, because the Masons were the team I kickstarted for. But the plastics of the Masons are to scale, like a much better scale than the kickstarted team were. Like, when you compare the players against each other, and it's just been painting them. There's not many team players in a full-mate Guild Ball team, hence why it's collectability. So I'll take to SteamCon. I'll take. Painted Masons, Painted Union, and that'll be the 2 teams I'll mess around with for like the games. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very nice, sir. And that's it in Paul's world. Little one's getting bigger.
Do you want to mention?
Get it in there.
Is the new Necromunda. which looks very interesting.
Well, apart from it's 2D. Is this
No.
It's not 2D.
That's where you're wrong.
Ooh.
Like,
We've been sold a book.
Let me educate you. I've got the new White Dwarf, the one that might not be out yet, but you get early if you subscribe. And in it, it has the game, the design notes for Necromunda. And I have to say, they've squared this away. So basically, in the box set, you get a 2D set, tiles with like bulkheads, doors and barricades on it.
Okay.
Now, the reason.
Which like space.
Yeah, which has these here, you can see here, Barry, these little bits of scenery which go on a 2D set. Now, the reason you have that is because they would never, and they say this in the design notes, they would never be able to cram enough scenery into a box unless the box was ridiculously sized or ridiculously priced. But as a starter set,
The amount of the price they sell terrain for and the amount of terrain you need, there'd be 200 quid's worth of terrain
easy.
In GW money.
And it would take a hell of a lot of building, because
it's painting.
Yeah, painting and everything else. So what they've done is that they've done so when you play a game of Necromunda, you can either play it 3D. With scenarios, or a 2D scenario, which represents like the underways, the sewers of the hives.
Yeah.
So that's a really smart thing. So it's basically out of the box set. You have two lovely gangs, of models. Goliath and Escher, which are guys.
Oh, so no Orlocks this time.
No Orlocks. Because they felt the Orlocks were too similar to Goliath.
Were they?
Well.
I don't think they were.
These two could...
Weren't Orlocks the vanilla?
Orlocks were like the biker gang.
Stat-wise, weren't they vanilla Orlocks?
Well, and they've done away with that as well.
And everybody else was like a spike off.
No. Like they were mostly vanilla. But they've done...
Like Goliath were fighty.
Yeah, but they... But the original... The gang
stats... These guys, Escher?
Girls only gang. Yeah. The punk gang. Yeah, so... What they've done is they've done two very different, looking gangs. Yeah, you can't get more different than men versus women, can you?
Well, big burly men.
Yeah, roided up men. and their stats are very different. They've introduced more stat lines. There's cool, willpower, and intelligence as well. They make the starting gangs very different.
Because they were very similar.
Yeah. But
apart from one of them had your whatever they were, Heidi boys.
Yeah.
Whatever the
Ratskins.
Cowdor, were Cade.
Dillac.
They were the trenchcoat mafia. The ones that liked to hide a lot.
Yeah.
So I mean, and that was their bag. But the sign was the same.
Yeah, exactly. And so they've skewed the gangs a lot further. In the Goliaths start off with a lot more strength and toughness. While Escher have different stats, totally, which I really like. And to give you a 2D set in the box set is really clever as well.
Yeah, yeah. How much?
75.
How big are the gangs?
10 men. 10 men.
Yeah, that's not bad.
But they're lovely models, and they're modular. They're not one piece, they're multi parts.
That was always the thing that pissed me off about Necromunda.
What?
It's like it was WYSIWYG.
Yes.
And you had to keep. If you upgraded the person, you had to cut his fucking arms off and put a different weapon.
That was
a real pain in the arse, mate. If you ever bought second-hand Necromunda gear and then gone to strip it, all the arms would disappear and all the weapons would disappear because they were plastic stuck on.
Of course. No, so they're smarter there. So the way you would actually do it is that you would probably buy... Because these gangs will be sold in a 10-man set, like a Blood Bowl team.
Yeah.
And you'd probably buy two of them, wouldn't you, to be your gang? Because then it gives you... You can modulate lots of different options of guys. So when one progresses to be holding something else, you can have...
Yeah, but the fun was, you'd get an upgrade, and you'd actually take that model home, and you'd cut his arm off and put a different weapon on it.
But that was because of old metal models.
You'd have to saw the fucking thing off.
Now you just have twice as many plastic models with different options.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But every weapon was different. Look at the amount of weapons here, man. They really ramped up the weapons.
It's like they've really expanded on the fluff of what each house is. So Goliath, which is all about metal riveting. So they've got the Cromper rivet cannon, which is just like for pushing nails into metal.
Okay, like a Die Hard.
Yeah, basically. They're like, they're packing that, and like one of them's got like a just a hammer, just for like, and a spud jacker, which is just a big wrench.
Let's hope it doesn't just degrade. What's the word?
Die.
No, what's it? No, like where it just all becomes, it turns into like the heavy stubber fight, where the heavy stubbers are just, well, get them up high and just mow everything down.
Well, yeah, no, totally, but the most heaviest weapon any of these gangers is holding is a grenade launcher. None of them's got like a
no heavy stubber.
There's no heavy stubbers.
Oh, maybe they saw sense. Well, yeah, we don't want you having no heavy stubbers.
I think they've done away with the old style of heavy.
It used to be like, yeah, leader,
yeah,
two heavy stubbers, and a load of tubes, that'll do.
Yeah, and who cares? Well, exactly. But I'm saying, like, they're going to release everything for this game system. All the old.
Is it time to sell my metals off then?
Yes. Do it now.
Do it now!
Like, if you're going to sell it, do it now before there's no market.
Do it now. Sell the metal.
Because I sold my old Deluxe stuff, guys, quite a while ago, because I thought if I'm going to play Necromunda again, I'd use the Gene Sealer cult models for, yeah, because I really like them. But now that this new type of game is coming out, honestly, like, I was really impressed by it, and there'll be a whole bunch of guys playing it down the club.
Do it now, especially Nick, because Nick's got more scenery than God knows who.
Exactly,
he's all of it.
Yeah,
all of it. Right, well, very nice, sir. Very nice. I was going to talk about Shade Spire, but yeah, well, I'm not going to, because I don't want to.
Okay.
Because they've got fucking Sigmarines in them, the bastards.
No, but apparently it's a really good
game. I don't want to play against Sigmarines. Well, I don't want to play with them. I don't want to play against them. I don't want to buy them. I don't want to contribute to their existence by buying a box that's got it in them. And in order to play the game, you have to buy that box. That box has got it in them.
Well, that is another thing with Necromunda, is that you're going to have to buy, to get the rules set, you're going to have to buy the box game. And that means you're owning an Escher gang and an Orlog gang. Now, my gang would be Dalak. So I've already agreed that who's getting my Escher and Orlog models. The Goliath models. Because that's the gang I'm going to have. And until,
yeah, they're going to have them as well, aren't they?
Yeah. What?
Oh, so you're selling your seconds?
Yeah.
They're buying the second lot.
Yeah, second lot. Because that'll give them all the options they need then. So when Dalak turns...
Apart from the heavy stubbers, which...
But I think the heavy weapons are in the game. I don't think
that would make a big difference.
Yeah,
I think they were bastards.
I think they've taken away Overwatch. Like, there's no.
Oh, that was it. That was the whole game. Overwatch
is a learned skill.
Yeah,
but it's gone as a basic.
Shit. That was the whole game, mate. Yeah. You step out.
Nope. It's gone. Next. I think because they even say this in the design notes. That was the problem with the game.
Well, there wasn't a fucking game. It was just like, who could get the best position with the heavy stubbers?
They say, well, not the heavy stubber bit, but they say exactly that in the design. I mean, they...
It's funny how... I'll remember the word. Degrade. Something. Deconstruct.
Deconstruct.
Games deconstruct into the kind of easiest way to win.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to win was heavy stubber, up high, Overwatch. Nobody can stick their head out.
The designers are Andy Hoare and James Hewitt.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Okay, well, we'll give it a go, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in that than I am Shadespire, because I ain't paying for any...
I think you'd be surprised with playing Shadespire, because apparently that is a tournament game from the ground up. That's like unlike anything Jebo you've ever done.
Well, there's a game called Dungeon Command, which is very much like Shadespire, mm-hmm. where it's like, I've got all five packs of that.
Yep.
So basically, that's the same thing, but set in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep.
No, I'm not doing it. I don't care how good the fucking game is. I'm not fucking doing it. Set it in the old world. I'm not playing against Sigmarines. I'm not buying bastard Sigmarines. I'm not fucking doing it. I don't care how good it is. Right, so this week, what have I been doing? I played Magic. That was alright. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I did Draft. We're still in Ixalan. Still Pirates versus Dinosaurs. And I can't, what did I play? I played Merfolk. Blue-green Merfolk. It was all right.
Like Fishmen?
Yeah. Merfolk are pretty stock in Magic.
Okay. I don't pretty know where good. They are. Like,
pretty aggro-y Merfolk, normally.
Yeah.
And then I played, on Wednesday I played Rudders, but we'll save that for the big stuff.
This is the main topic. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been, what else has been happening? The house is a fucking state. Oh, man. God, man. The builders have come back with a vengeance recently, so they're coming more handed every day now. There's like 3, 4, 5.
Yeah,
and they're working late. Yeah. And like, we had this rule before when we originally started, it was like one room at a time, you know.
Yep.
You can do a room, finish that room, move to the next room. There is literally not a single room in the house. Every fucking room is completely trolleyed. There's holes in walls. There's a pit in the front. You open the front door and there's a fucking pit.
Yeah.
You have to wobble across on a board.
Yep.
Anyway. So, one day in a not too
Barry's building
future.
His own drawbridge. Like, and that's like the walkway or the fellowship runs across before the Balrog gets to
throw Gimli across or something. Oh man. One day I'll look back on this and laugh. One day, we'll talk about the UK GT soon. So that'll do. Paul does loads. I do knob all, apart from Blackgate miniatures, dealing with building works, dealing with kids. That's okay. My life. So right, KR sponsorship.
Yes.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR multicase. KR multi-cases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR multi-case today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So we're back in the room, and we're talking about UK GT, sir.
Yes.
Which has become the world's...
Well,
Super Bowl of Warmaster.
Well,
the Super Bowl.
So yeah,
if you couldn't invite nobody else from the rest of the world, and basically somebody from the UK wins it, and then we can call ourselves world champions.
So American of us. It's exciting times, basically. So
I predicted this.
Did you?
That it was going to be next year. It was going to be the breakout year.
Okay, so what do you want to know about, listeners? Okay, so basically, at this London GT, which is May the 19th and 20th, in the Olympic Stadium is the venue, you know, for all of this.
Well, you know, it's got good transport links.
Yeah,
well, let me tell you something. You may not know, listeners from around the world, you can travel on Eurostar from France to Stratford.
Mm, that's where the Olympic Stadium is.
Stratford International.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just across the road from the Olympic Stadium. So you can go right to the bloody place.
And it's very close to our houses. So
yeah, like, so if you need somewhere to stay,
yeah.
As long as there's not too many of you, obviously, and as long as the bloody building works.
Yeah, exactly. We can put you up, yeah.
So come to Chelmsford.
Yeah, like get some of the internationals, put them up for free if they wanted it.
Yeah, and you can come out to the Citar, which is the normal curry house.
And join in, yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice, sir.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, so I met with the old runners of it. Zach is the main guy over a beer in London, at a very London style pub, you know, like
8 quid a pint,
not that bad, but you know, anyway, we got chatting, we got drinking, and we hit it off quite easily because, you know, give two guys a common interest and they're going to chat about this stuff. And I was very interesting finding out about how their tournament has grown.
Yeah.
once a year tournament, and that's really interesting to hear. And I was just like, because obviously 40k is the mainstream, and this is what this has allowed them to do, and we are very much like,
so what numbers have they got for the 40k? So what numbers do they have for 40k?
Oh, hundreds. 128? You know, like, so...
Yeah, but small kind of 328. Three 128 tournaments.
Oh, I suppose. Okay, no, but maybe they're getting more. I mean, anyway, there's a lot of players. Basically,
well, that's what we want
to
hear.
The 40k side of it will sell out. If not, it's not already sold out. I don't know.
Listen,
but like, it will sell out.
Mad bastards, yeah, playing compared to the 40k.
Yeah.
You're mad!
That's, you know,
I'm going to go around taking pictures of these crazy ass tables.
It will be, I mean, I wouldn't mind looking for the most horrible list. Like, as in,
I'd be like,
oh my god, that list looks A, built horribly, and B, it's not, you know, like, it's just finished terribly as well. Like, anyway, so that will sell out. Now, speaking to him, it's like, okay, so it's going to be a 5-round event. It's go, you know, that's what it is, Warmaster.
Five rounds.
Yeah.
Shit.
So we might not attract the players.
Well, you only need to go over 8, don't you?
Well, let's get this right. So for 8 players, you need to do 3 rounds.
That's what I said.
For 16 players, you need to do 4 rounds.
Well, for 9 players, you need to do 4 rounds.
For 9 players, you need to do 4 rounds.
That's correct.
For 16 players, it's 4 rounds. For 17 players...
5 rounds.
You might need 5 rounds.
Yeah, well, you do need 5 rounds.
Definite?
Absolutely. And unless all the... Yeah, basically, it can happen that you don't need 5 rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not very common.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Five rounds. But you can guarantee that we will play five rounds if we've got 70 players.
Well, I mean,
if you get more than 32 players, 33 players, you need six rounds.
Well, we can't do six rounds.
Why not?
Maybe we can. it's been...
The tournament pack
is out. You know, it's on the... if you Google the London Grand Tournament, you'll find the website. On the website, you need to buy the London... You have to buy a convention pass, which is £10.
Which seems reasonable.
But you've got to remember, it's not... What is this? It's a convention. It's not just tournaments.
I don't think it's like SmallCon where they got like unlimited table play.
No.
But you get access to the traders and all that shit.
And
let's salute.
Yeah. And the Warmaster ticket is £20. That's half the price of...
How did you negotiate that? Because I can't see any other £20 tickets.
I chatted the guy up in the pub.
Get in your trousers, sir.
I just basically... We got talking, and I just bartered for it. He asked what prices do people pay?
£10.
Yeah,
we're cheap bastards.
Yeah, and I said that's the reasons why, and he was like, okay, well, noted, and that's why we're in at the price. I think Epic's the same.
I haven't seen Epic on the list.
Epic's on there. Yeah, on the.
What website. I mean, if you could get people £30
for
a weekend, including. Blah, 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 blah. And then as long as we can put them up, then all they've got to find is a Ryanair flight, which a button's 80.
If they're flying.
Because Ryanair flying to Stansted, that's just really close.
If someone needed picking up, we could even do that, I suppose.
So we'll see how many European funds, because we've been talking about getting...
I mean, like, basically, if you were going to travel for one event, like, if this is the one you would travel to, like, it's at the Olympic Stadium. The only place that I think would have more profile of a venue would be Warhammer World itself.
Or Buckingham Palace.
Well, it can't be there, can it? Yeah, smart ass. Yeah, like,
no, Warhammer World itself.
Yeah, so and if it was at Warhammer World, I think the only way this event could be bigger is it would have to be at the Mecca, and you'd have to be able to order Warmaster armies.
Obviously. Well, that ain't happening. But we've already discussed the problem with Warhammer World is they want that you use all the stuff we have to use.
Exactly.
Because there ain't no armies.
Exactly.
I play Norse.
Yeah. Exactly.
Play Beastmen.
So, on another podcast, we will go over the London's the world, whatever we're calling it. The London
GT. You call it the World Championship, not me.
I didn't choose that name.
Not me.
That's what it's become. We'll go over the rules pack for that. But it's my rules pack. You know, it's just banged into their format.
So what are they putting up as a prize? Because if it's the World Championship, I want to see something decent. I mean, we'll get prize.
We'll get
prize. We need something.
I mean,
something like a cup. Boom. Well, you get all that big.
Yeah. We'll get something. We'll sort that out. I mean, I just really hope that we attract the players that buy the tickets. Because obviously, I've asked the organisers, like, just keep me posted on like every other week or something how many tickets are sold. There isn't essentially, because I said to him, like, well, I can't guarantee you I can attract so many players. Because obviously, there's a big price tag to being in the Olympic Stadium.
The one we just went to had, the one we're going to's got 22.
Yeah.
In Stafford Walden.
Yeah. Mm hmm.
So that's already a five-round event.
Well, it is, isn't it? Effectively, but so good times, isn't it?
Okay. Well, it'd be fun. It'd be fun.
I mean, I don't know the upper limit.
Hopefully, we get to play.
I don't know the upper limit of.
Don't we know upper limit? Trust me, it's all money, isn't it? It's all good.
I mean, like, the venue is going to be huge, and so I don't think there's a cap on the venue. It's just then sorting out a quality line of tables. Now, they've even said to me that they make scenery for their 40k tournaments. They'll make scenery for Warmaster, like, you know, if I give them enough notice.
Wow.
And I asked, how much scenery can you make? And they can make an awful lot of scenery.
Wow.
You know, like, what they do with it afterwards is a problem for them. But it's simple enough. But when it's made for the event, what do you expect?
Yeah, I knock stuff out of my garage. It's not that hard, is it? Yeah, the little round base stuff that we
use. Totally, yeah. I mean, like, I was looking at their pictures of their 40k tables, and I was like, it's a basic level, but what do you expect? It's everywhere. You know, every table has that quality then. So I mean, it's weird. I mean, because they came to us. It's this thing, like, we were involved, you know, there was a message found for us. Because they want, and I've requested that we're tabled next to the Epic guys. Or maybe into Momentum. We might have Warmaster Epic, Warmaster Epic, Warmaster Epic.
Get those 40k guys out of it.
No, Epic.
Simon will know about running it.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, yeah, I don't want to be mingled in.
Why not mingled in? I think it'll be quite funny.
Be next to each other.
Anyway, we're going to be alongside.
We got the better system.
The rivalries.
It's true. Right, so, okay, main topic.
I need you to come pick me up, alright? I got bit by fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Okay, so we're back and we're talking about our main topic, which is...
Beastman Trialist.
Which is something that's been worked on.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be in place for early next year.
And if you wanted to use a Beastman list at either of the events I'm running, you could use this trial list. I would let it be legal.
Yeah. I mean, I played against it this week. Mm-hmm. So after we've talked about the list, I'll talk about the game.
Yep.
And my thoughts. So do we talk through the whole Beastman list?
No, it's just...
Should I talk through the list as it was suggested, and then you talk through the changes?
Yeah, okay. Well, there's only a few changes we need to make, so you only need to talk about the original list where it matters.
Okay, because one thing about this list is, and this again tended to happen more in the later lists,
yeah.
They tend to have a lot more options than early lists.
Yeah.
Like, some of the early lists, you maybe have like 8 options.
Yeah.
And these are going to 10 options. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Exactly, 10 options.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll probably have a couple of extra options that most lists wouldn't have.
Yep.
Okay, so how it works is you have Beast Herd,
mm-hmm.
who are effectively halberdiers.
Yep.
With a 5-point extra.
Yep.
Because they are...
Ambush.
Okay, Herdkin... who are effectively crossbowmen.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
3-3-1 with no armour.
Yeah. And they're 60 points, 5 points tax again.
Yep.
Bestigals, who are effectively Saurus. 4-3-5 plus 75 points, restricted to 2 per 1,000 because they are that good.
Because they're the best.
Well, I like them. Then we have Minotaurs. Now, these are weird bastards, these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they have 4-3-5 up. 5-4-6 up. And they're 120 points.
Mm.
Which puts them at... If they're Troll Slayers with armour... That's right, isn't it? Troll Slayers with 6 up armour.
Yep.
And then the special rules gave them... Bloodlust, which must charge if possible, never evade, blah blah blah. Immune to terror. So yeah. Troll Slayers.
Yeah.
So that's 6 of armour has moved them from what Troll Slayers? 95? 90?
80?
It can't be bloody 80, can it?
Hang on, now we can look that up. I'll find it.
Well, now we're having a race, but I'll beat him because I'm on a computer. Computers beat fucking all that shit anyway. So here we go. Troll Slayers, 80.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about from going 80 to 120 for a 6 of armour save.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's madness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
how often do you actually save on a 6? 1 in 6? It's not often.
No, it's not often.
It's not often, mm-hmm. and you're paying like 50% tax.
Yeah.
So, I think Minotaurs was something that needed looking at. I think they have been looked at.
They have been looked at. That's something I've flagged up.
Okay, so Centigals, 3, 1, 15 centimetre shooting, 3 hits, 6 up armour, mm-hmm. 80 points, 2 per 1,000, and they have got some crazy rules. That they count as infantry based along the long edge, but cannot provide or receive support, and they're able to pursue as dwarf rangers. 15 centimetre shooting.
Yep.
And they are 80 points. That's probably about right.
Yeah.
Chaos Hounds. Good old Chaos Hounds.
Yep.
3-3, no armour, 30 points, 6 mm-hmm. per 1,000, completely filled.
Yep.
I don't know what the right points for these should be. We moved them to 40 and I still feel sick when I play against them. If you look at a Goblin Wolf Rider, I know they got a shooting attack, but shooting shit. 15 centimetre shooting is shit. And it's only defensive.
Yeah.
They got 2 attacks.
Yeah.
1 shooting. Yep. 6 up armour save. And yep. they're 60 points. Yep. You get 2 of these for the price of that.
It's good, isn't it?
That's
cheap. We changed it.
We changed it to 40 and I still feel sick. So, God almighty, when they were 30. Yeah. You know that I'm always, you know there's something wrong when people are taking 12.
You've said this before.
You're only allowed 12, and I'm taking all 12, mate. First thing on the list, bang, 12 chaos stones.
Oh, yeah, and a general.
12 chaos stones and a general. I'm in already. Tusker Chariots is the next list. So you've got 3-3-5 up, 95 points, 4 per 1,000, Chaos Chariots. Chariots are good.
Yep.
Everybody knows chariots are good. That's why you can't find the bloody kings.
Yep.
try and find some Chaos Chariots on eBay. Good luck
with
that.
You won't.
Good luck with that. We've got Dragon Ogres. They're a monster. They got 6 attacks, 4 hits, 5 up armor, 250 points.
Yeah.
1 per 1,000. I mean, when they charge, they do hit for 8 attacks, I think.
Smash.
Each. Yep. But Jesus Christ, 250 yep. points. I think we brought them down, didn't we?
It's all on the you can pull up on
that. I can, but I'm telling you, when you in your because Paul's what do they call them, like a champion of the Beastman list.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure Dragon Ogre came down.
Yes. Well, it's all on. You can look it up.
Okay. Well done. Then we have Chaos Spawn, which is ported out of the Chaos list.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a monster 3-3. 15 centimetre, 4 hits, 3 up armour, 110 points, 2 per 1,000, and it is, can only give an orders, it's got a brigade.
Yep.
Unless it's part of a brigade. Yeah, that's exactly the same as Chaos. Then we have another fucking monster, Jesus wept. They got a Dragon Ogre Shaggoth, he's 8-8, 5 up armour, 175 points, elite, so that's 1 per 2,000. He is a giant without the Giant God Wild table.
Yeah.
And then we have Beast Lord, who's a general. We were laughing at this. This should just be general.
Yeah, it should just say general, like every other list.
Plus 2, 125 points, leadership 9, yeah. Boom. Yeah. Doomble, that's actually hero.
Yeah.
That should just say hero.
Yeah.
Although, Wargore is hero, so plus 1, leadership 8,
yeah.
80 points. Doomble is not a normal hero.
Yeah, he's
plus 3 attacks.
Hero is the hero keyword, doesn't he?
Yes, plus 3 attacks, leadership 6, so he's like a hero. Like what's the guy? Saurus hero? What the?
Yeah, exactly.
Saurus hero. But he's got a special ability, will become. Oh, so Doomble. Beast Herd, Herdkin, and Bestigals joined by Doomble will become subject to Bloodlust, same as Minotaur. And can only receive orders from the Doomble as long as he's part of the unit.
Okay.
And the Bloodlust was the thing that made them immune to terror but had to charge. And then we have a Bray Shaman, who's a wizard, leadership 8. So it's 80 points for that fella.
Mm-hmm.
So he should just be called Wizard.
Wizard.
Or
exactly.
Whatever they call.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that is the baseline trial list
yep.
that we worked off.
Yep.
And then Paul's refined list that we'll display.
So if you put up on the Warmaster community page, because it has the changes, because that included in part of this. So another thing is the army rule that as was in the old list was that before deployment, the beastman player can place woods to make sure the total number of woods in this half of the table already placed woods must not exceed 2 for every 1,000 points in the army. So you have got to have 4 woods on your side of the table.
Yeah.
And those woods were quite generous in dimensions as well.
Like half sheep A4.
Yeah, exactly. And the original list ambush rules were, if you can believe it, you have to draw a map on a piece of paper to mark where your ambushing units will come in.
Yeah, and then
you make a command roll to that point. If successful, that's where they come in.
How do you know? Hang on, how do I make a command roll to a point without disclosing where the point is?
Exactly. exactly. So, doesn't really work in tournament play at all.
Okay.
So, I changed...
And how do you tell you what's... How do you disclose what's in deployment, what's in ambush, potentially?
You would just have it held off to one side.
Okay.
But it's like, again, that wasn't really clear.
Right, yeah. Okay. So it was a bit of work to rebalance it and rejig it.
Yeah, it needs a lot of changes. Okay. So this is the trial list that we are using at the moment. It's simple benefits are that Dragon Ogres get, for no extra points, they get also immune to terror.
Because I was wrong. We didn't reduce the points of Dragon Ogres.
No, we didn't.
They're still 250
Still 250. Still 250. Jesus. Because they're monsters, aren't they? But they get immune to terror.
I think they should be immune to terror.
Yeah, I think
250 points.
I think they're scary enough. Also,
they cost more than the elephants.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
cost terror.
Also, a simple change was that Minotaurs can't be driven back because you're paying a lot of points for that armor value.
I still think they're too much.
Yeah, and they can currently get driven back. Yeah, is in the.
So they're not as good as troll slayers.
No, they're paying more points as well. Mm. So for no extra points, I mean, like again, you could probably reduce them if you wanted to. I think, what are they, 120? Well, I think 110.
Well, I think fair. Normally a 6 armor save is worth 15 points at top.
So simple add on there, which for definitely not wrong, was to make sure Midas can't be driven back.
I still don't think that's enough. But no, this is why Beastmen are still away.
Yeah.
Because even up to this list, I don't think they're right.
No, exactly. But the bigger changes are that the ambush rules completely gone and changed into works exactly the same as Gutter Runners. The Gutter Runner rules set.
Except that Hounds can ambush.
There's no way that, and with an additional part is that there's no way for Chaos Hounds to come into scenery because they can't do that.
So what do they have to do? They have to come onto a board.
They can come out of sight. They can be out of line of sight.
Out of line of sight.
So say there's a point where you can bring them up on the battlefield out of line of sight. They can appear there.
Okay.
But they can't be
on the board edge.
Yeah, on the board edge. Yeah, exactly. And also, you docked that ambush rule, which were in the old list, increased those units by 5 points, is gone. So they're negative 5 points off the Beast Herd and Herdkin.
So based on the fact that not only Gutter Runners don't have to pay 5 points tax, they probably get a discount just for being cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Because though it's a nice ability, it is situationally good in terms of like you have to make command rolls to get it. And I said with the roll that if you failed that roll, so it's the first, it's not a blunder, so that roll for that character to bring that brigade on is a fail, they get a half-paced move, which basically means allows them to deploy, but they can't go any further. So their half-paced move allows them to come onto the table.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, but I think it's the best way for it to work. So unless you blundered that roll, at the very least, you can bring on your ambushes. Now, is that a good thing? Is that too strong? Well, actually,
it was pretty good.
It's pretty good, but if they have appeared and they can't attack, they can just get hammered.
But they can still shoot.
Yeah, they could. But are Beastmen a good shooting army? No, they're not.
They're not worse than Empire.
Yeah. What do you mean? They've got cannons for a start.
No, they got bows, 30-centimeter bows.
And they can't draw enough of them to really make a difference. Yeah, like, and so, or, and then. Hounds were obviously gone to 40 points because that's the price of hounds should be, and there's no free woods.
Well, I've said it a million times, I would have been far, far, far happier having just 4 units of cheap hounds.
Yeah.
Well, and then you could have paid 30 points for them because they're all right in small numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah, 12 of them's madness, sir. Madness.
So, and there's no free woods in the list, in the trial list that we're using. So it gets rid of that problem completely. Because Beastmen don't need it, and it's just...
They can't even move through them for free.
Yeah, exactly. They get no benefits for being in the woods. They gain penalties for anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
So you probably wouldn't want to put them in there anyway.
Well,
like,
it is strange that they're not like wood elves. They're not of the wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
so if we get a request from someone to use Beastmen in one of our events, which we have. But we're like, it's worth a discussion just to have a look at a list with all the changes we do have, whether there's anything else we want to make. Like, I'd be willing to dock the Minotaurs some points, etc., that kind of thing.
I think I find it difficult to bring them when they've got Saurus. I don't know why you're bothering them. Yeah. Unless you've run out of room on Saurus. How many are you like, 4?
What is in
Saurus? 2 per 1,000.
Are you talking about Lizardmen now?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about whatever your version of Saurus is in this.
Oh, Bestigals. Yeah, you can only have 1 per 1,000.
2 per 1,000.
Yeah, so... No,
so, yeah, 2 per 1,000.
Yeah, 2 per 1,000, yeah.
So, yeah, once you've got your 4 of them, I guess, you've got something else hitting.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. If you had access to more than 4 of them, they're in...
Yeah, no, and I think it's fair to cap them as what they are. So, that's the list.
Okay, so not many changes.
More than most, though, Barry.
Yeah. I'm saying it's not like rewriting the list or anything.
No. I mean, essentially, it's kept all the units, but it's given a much more functional ambush rule, and it's just rebalanced some of the units to be a bit more fairer. Yeah, like in terms of points wise, in terms of rebalance. So the units do the same thing, but their points levels have been adjusted.
Okay. So did Rodders send you the list?
He did.
Through the game.
He did. So Rodders' list.
So I'll just talk my list.
Okay.
Lizardman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have time to unpack, so I just took my tournament list. I wanted the vanilla list so that I could sense how the other list worked against
yep.
it. I didn't want a list that I didn't know how it worked.
Yep.
So my list was just the bog standard 4 Skinks, 8 Saurus, 4 Kobolds, 2 Pterodons, yep. characters.
Characters.
Ring of Magic, Scroll of Dispel.
Yep.
It was a very nice list. And his list was much bigger, obviously.
So he took 10 Beast Herd.
Who are the Halberdiers.
Who are the Halberdiers. 4 Herdkin.
Who are the Bowmen.
Yep. 5 Chaos Hounds.
Ooh, only 4 Herdkin.
4 Herdkin.
Can you put all them in ambush then?
You can't have more in ambush
than not. Is that overall or is that per?
That's overall. Yeah, like so it's the.
So you can only have 2 Herdkin in ambush.
Yes, that's right. For every you can in the same brigade as I remember, it's beast. They have to be the same amount of beast herd in that ambushing brigade as anything else. You can't have an ambushing brigade of 4 Chaos Hounds.
No. But you could have. But you can put all the Herdkin into ambush if you put 4 Beastkin in. Beast Herd. You can put 4 Beast Herd and 4 Herdkin in ambush.
Yes, but not in the same brigade.
No, because it's too big a brigade. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, that was good.
5 Chaos Hounds. Then 4 Bestigors. 2 Minotaurs. Mm. 2 Chariots.
Mm.
Units. A General. 2 Wizards. 1 with a Ring of Magic. And a Hero. And I'm guessing he means a Wargore, not a Doomball. And that left him with 5-point spare for some sword, which he forgot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You might have forgot that, but I'm pretty sure he ran an extra hero than that.
Oh, okay.
The Elrodders, you've got a lot of command on this team. I was like, 2 heroes, a general and 2 wizards. He said, yeah, I think I might need another one. It's like playing against Paul.
Yeah.
We're just a general, a wizard, and a hero.
So, if that list is right, that's 10, 15, 19, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 units, half of 27.
14.
Is 14.
Mm. So, my break was 9, his break was 14.
14. So, tell me about the game.
So, it's an aggressive army, first off.
Has to be, with Beastmen. What else are they going to do?
I've got no idea what they're going to do.
They've only got range 30 shooting anywhere, and,
they can't be crossbowmen, aren't they?
Yeah,
no exactly. armour.
Yeah.
So, they're not going to win from shooting.
No.
lots of games they're going to be... They don't have any heavy cav.
Nope.
They've got some chariots. Mm-hmm. But I think you only had
Two
or 3 chariots.
2 chariots.
2 chariots. Which obviously got doom and despaired. Or...
Yeah, which I'm stopping them.
So he had to try and trade his dogs off. In true Skaven fashion, he turned 1, he went first, moved forward. Turn 2, he attacked me with all his dogs to try and ding up my cold ones. But obviously, cold ones are strong, and dogs are not. He did take a couple of stands off.
He did get stands.
Yeah, but you've got to remember that a unit of dogs used to be 30 points.
Yeah.
A single stand of cold ones. What are they? 43 points?
Yeah.
For one... No, it's more than that. 46 points.
Mm-hmm.
For one stand.
Yeah.
So more than any entire unit.
It's a good trade.
Yeah, exactly. One unit costs less than my one stand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. He chucked all his cabin. But obviously that meant that then my cold ones could kind of do what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So he was really, really aggressive. He was playing on my side of the table. And messing around with my command by being so near, and then he ambushed from behind. So now I'm fighting on. He was on one side and in front and behind. So there was only one side I wasn't fighting on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like completely surrounded. But what that allowed me to do is work on initiative.
Yeah.
And if you've got fighty stuff and you can use initiative, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So. What he did do was very clever. It was ambushed behind with a brigade that had 2 effectively crossbowmen and 2 halberdiers behind them.
Yeah.
So that could put like 6 shots into my birds, mm-hmm. which stung the birds. Or if you had cannons, it probably, with a bit of luck, 6 shots might take a cannon off.
Yeah, totally reasonable. Yeah,
and with your new system that they're coming on,
yeah.
So you could put the 2 brigades on either side so they're shooting a cannon off each edge.
Yep.
That'd be annoying.
That'd be good.
So, I mean, that was good. But that, of course, what that allowed me to do then is when I then turn round, they're right on the edge and they're shit.
Yeah.
So instead of fighting the Minotaurs, who both survived, to be fair, I just turned round and killed the stuff that had just come on.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's got nowhere to back off to and it's just getting rammed off.
And it's chaff. And if I, to be fair, if I'd have turned round and hit it with the cold ones, they'd have evaporated. Because, they can't. Especially as they're in line. You know, there's a line of archers and then halberdiers and then archers and then halberdiers. Yeah. They just get vaporised.
Yeah.
And the new rule is that, as far as I know, if you get pushed off the board in combat, you're dead.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's none of this rolling back on. That's only if you get driven off with shooting.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're coming on the edge.
Yeah.
You're there on the edge, waiting for the cavalry to come and smash you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very interesting list. I liked it. It definitely didn't need the woods.
No.
It probably still needs some work around the Minotaurs.
Oh, yeah. They, I mean, just the discussion now, they should be dropped up some points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jim highlighted that. Mm-hmm. I think it suffers from the fact that there's actually a bit too much choice. So the stuff you, the things you need, right? So you're going to need your ambushers. You're going to need some dogs. You're going to need some chariots. You're going to need some four units of Saurus.
Yeah.
You're going to need your characters. And then you've got like three choices of monsters. You've got like,
yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
You've got there's just too much stuff going on. It's really hard to build a list and get everything you want in it. So
what happened in the game? What was the tale of the game then?
I think I won. He took three off me and I won, so whatever that was, five. How do you do it? 14-3? Is that how you do
it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or so 14. You took 14 units, he took three units.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big crushing win to you then.
Yeah, but, well, the cold one knights are not to be messed with. Even if you charge them.
Yeah.
They're as tough as you.
I love it.
They're as tough as you. It's 50-50, mate. If you charge me, it's 50-50. If you lose, then you're done.
You're done.
Because that's like five attacks per stand.
Yeah, yeah.
And there aren't many armies that can afford to do this, but having a fighty, terror-causing hero that brings four attacks or five if he uses his Sword of Fate and he's meaningless to command is like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Just send him in.
I don't fucking care if you die. It's not like using an elf dragon where you're goosed because that's your only other character.
Yeah.
It's just this guy who's like, whatever he is, 110 points or whatever. Yeah. If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
I mean, it's sad when you have to send your wizards in because they do die.
You get your ring of magic,
he's got to go with them. Because unfortunately, Lizardmen, they have to take
Wings of the Jungle.
Yeah, they have to take the wizard with them.
Of course they do. Like, carry him with.
He's like, he can't fight. He's like, oh, what are you doing? So I'd like to have another game. I think that's twice I've played them now with completely different builds.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the point of Centigals are in this. They sort
of, but it allows them to pursue cavalry.
But they've already got cavalry and chariots.
I suppose. Yeah.
And monsters.
Yeah, I mean.
And monsters.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't know. I mean, back in, weren't they the drunken guys?
Yeah, the drunk Centigals, yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, it's one of those things where...
But Rodders didn't use him, did he? They weren't in his list.
He didn't use any of the monsters either, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, towards the end, when people were building lists, they were taking everything in an army book and putting it in.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, like, people say, oh, where are the Swordsmasters? Yeah. Where are the Phoenix Guard? Yeah, yeah. Where are this? Well, they don't fucking exist.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just what do we call them? Spearmen.
Everything's just
spearmen. Where's the Lothian Sea Guard? Well, they don't exist either. But if it had been done later, no doubt it would have had everything in.
Yeah, it's probably right.
So I think, if anything, some of these later lists could do with culling down.
You could probably delete one or two entries. You know, like when it makes it, doesn't need that many options, does it?
Mm-hmm. No, but it doesn't hurt the list having more choices. It's just hard to fit it all in. So it's like it loses focus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a list I'd like to play with.
Yeah.
I'd like to see how the ambush works. I think I'd be. I'd have some. Are you allowed to ambush dogs?
Yes, but they have to have as many units of beast herds with them.
And you still only go to four.
So you could go
two and two.
But those dogs can't be in scenery, can they? So
it's true. But if you get a couple of warders off on those bad boys, they're going a long ass way.
I think you're imagining two as in terms of, okay, theoretically, if they could do this and this. Yes, if the stars aligned, the High Elf General gets three orders off his cavalry and does it.
We're not playing hard.
but if the stars align, the Beastman hero sends these Chaos Hounds popped up out of nowhere and get right in the back of your cannons or something. But the chances of it happening are low.
That's what I've always dreamed of. But the
playing against Beastmen is like you. It is a different game. Like, because you're like, hang on, they could come on anywhere. Yeah. Any table ages.
I talked to Rodders a bit about it. I think we're not Beastmen, but we're our scenarios may struggle is when we start using Beastmen in scenario play.
Mm.
So it's like, oh shit. They can just come out automatically. Yeah. Say we're playing Defend the Village.
Yeah.
It can automatically come out and defend the village.
They'd be really good at the village. I burnt it.
Shit. That's 3 points to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for that scenario.
Or it's like...
hang on. Okay.
Well, one of the scenarios is where there are 5 points on the board.
Yeah.
And two are in my deployment-ish, because you hide them. And two are in your deployment. And you tend to put them in woods.
Yeah.
That's the safest place. But it ain't safe, is it? Yeah. Beastmen are automatically coming up
there.
Yeah. So I think scenario play might be quite awkward.
Could be tricky with them. Could be tricky. But
so we'll see. That if we were playing scenario, definitely I'd want to play Beastmen to see how stupid you can make the scenario. Because they'd be everywhere.
But you'd have to counteract them. Then your objectives, you don't want to put in scenery. Because you'd be like, hang on, that's no good.
It's no good.
It's like, I can't go in there because the beast will pop up there.
Yeah. And I was doing, towards the end of the game once I realised.
Because you can choose where those your objectives go.
And then they scatter. But yeah, I'll put them in the open.
You put them in the open. It's like, so that's why you play differently.
Yeah, and like I was starting to do that. I mean, a long time ago, I played in the final of the Triwizards against a Bretonnian player.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was putting heart, like he'd have a unit of cavalry and he'd have the middle guy facing backwards.
Yeah.
So you could never be, you could always initiative charge 360.
But
so
you'd move at half pace.
Because but you don't for initiative.
No, not for initiative, but moving the unit moves at half
that
pace.
That doesn't matter, does it? Because what I need to do is protect behind me.
Yeah.
So if the beastmen come in behind me, I can initiative charge them with my cav.
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing all that kind of stuff. Everybody was, one base was facing backwards and two were facing forwards.
I think in the tournament pack that I've written up, that you know, my event in January and the London GT is using, I don't see a problem with the Beastmen ambush rules. Won't give them an unfair advantage in any of them.
You don't reckon?
You just have to think about it.
What was it? What was it that Bill Shankly said? He says if you're not trying to cheat and get an advantage, then you should be. Because if you know the one where you get random deployment,
yeah,
but it's not random anymore, is it? Because I can keep off two brigades,
yeah,
and put them wherever I want.
It'd be quite funny though. That'd be
it's like, oh, your general's over here. Oh, there's two brigades that surrounded him.
Could be good. Not going to say it's not.
So I think that it could be Beastmen, although maybe not like the tier one army.
No.
In scenario play, they could be a real handful.
Yeah, but they wouldn't give them any advantages in like the battle for the tower, the central like objective. Well, they don't get any nearer the central objective.
Yeah,
they
can come behind you again. You've got to get a move on. You've got to get to the tower.
Yeah.
I like them. I think they play different to any other army, apart from maybe Skaven, but I ain't played Skaven enough to know. I mean, Paul always just chucked in the one gutter runner just to annoy me.
Yeah.
But he never did anything.
No, it's just there.
It's like, you could just hear it squeak, but you couldn't see it.
Yeah, oh, there's some squeaking over there. Thank your command.
I'm like a man, goddamn. Cheese eating. Anyway, hopefully we get to play some more games.
Yeah, well, I'm playing against Rodders next week.
All right, so that's good. You have the feedback. I've played Jim at least once, maybe twice against Beastman. So that's the man with third
so
game.
I'll be playing against Rodders next week, and it'll be against my Vampire Counts, which I'm going to use at the next event.
Yeah, you need to look at those. If he still uses the two Minotaurs, see what they do.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I'll find the time between now and then, and I'll be like, also Rodders, throw in this as well. Okay. Yeah, like, for you.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So, what else has been going on? Do you want to talk about, you've been hitting up some sponsors?
Yes. Can I just grab that list so I don't get it wrong? So, I've obviously contacted our sponsors, which is KR, so we should have the cases. For January, and I've also contacted Magister Ministrum because they've always been good for sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've also contacted Polar Fox because he's been good for sponsorship as well. So hopefully those two other companies will send some 3D models to advertise them. And then, of course, that I'll leave that for the January one. But obviously for the London GT, the big event of the year, I will contact every company again for when it comes up to that. And I'll be like, FYI, this event is much, much bigger than every other event. It's like,
well, potentially.
Maybe you want to advertise, you know, what do you want to do for it? Because, like, for example, Eureka, their sponsorship has gone to a half price voucher, mm-hmm. which is fine, which is better than not giving anything. But maybe at such a big profile event, in terms of like a lot of people, maybe they'll want to send some models just because, you know, like a bigger audience to look at. I don't know.
Okay, excellent.
Up to them. But that is something for me, obviously, to deconflict with the organisers of the main organisers of the London GT, because they might well have, or they might have already budgeted for prize support themselves.
Well, at least some trophies, hopefully.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. So are you talking about anything about Black Hat Miniatures?
Just a little bit. So I need to post up an update. I was supposed to do it today, but life got away from me. My mother-in-law was having a bad day, so I had to spend some time with her. Yep. So anyway, things are going all right. I've got some Greenling pictures to show. Only the first four.
In Greenlings we trust.
And so they're on the table. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it's going to take, because there's quite a lot of stuff still to do. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a lot of work to do. And that's assuming everything goes right and none of the miniatures need any extra work. Of course, and blah, blah, everything molds up and blah, 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 blah. So it feels like... I hate not keeping a deadline. I hate it. Mm-hmm. So I don't like talking about it too much, because it feels like if I say another deadline and I miss that, then I feel like an even bigger wanker than I do already. Yep. So hopefully, once I get the stuff in, then I can project how long it'll take me to get it done and send it out. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. Obviously, as soon as I can get it out, the better, because then I can have a relax.
Yeah,
it's quite stressful doing something and not being able to do it as well as you'd like. Right, so what are we going to talk about next week? Any idea?
Well, I'll also be talking about the game I play against Rodders.
Okay, and then we've got the Try Wiz Wednesday.
It should be prep for that event. It should be the event at the risk.
Is it not next Saturday? Week Saturday?
Yeah, so if we record during the week next week, we can talk about the list that we're going to run to it.
Yeah, and then there's quite a lot of Scottish people. This is the one that sold out.
This is the one that sold out, 22 players now.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah, because they found two more spaces.
And also, it's the Swedish Open this weekend.
Yes, and that's happening right now.
Yeah, so have you seen they got some seeding thing on Friday night? Where you play 1,000-point games for seeding or something?
That's an interesting idea. I'd like to hear, I'd be interested to hear if we get any details about how that goes down.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly talk through the list.
And you never know, might find some Swedes in London in May.
Swedes are playing Revolution, though, as far as I know.
Yeah, Swedes play Revolution.
Mm-hmm. So be good to see. Good to see who wins. Mm-hmm. Good to see what lists are used. We'll talk about it next week.
Yep.
So next week we'll talk about that and talk about the upcoming event. And that was Warmaster Podcast episode 77 with Paul and Barry.
Nice season.
Would you like to know more?